I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app and streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. You need more juice for me, Anthony? I'm not loud enough?
Yeah, for some reason it's not coming across that loud.
On Comrex 1?
Yep.
Dang, what levels look all good over here? This is behind the scenes radio, but hey, it is what it is. We gotta make an adjustment. Hold on, I gotta disappear for a second because the volume knob's down there. It's out of reach.
All right.
3, 2, 1. Pew!
See you, Craig. All right, and this is the part of the show where Anthony Haney III faces his fears. All right, Craig is back.
It's not that far away. how's the volume now? Do we sound loud and clear?
Yes, a lot right. Better.
Excellent. All right. Everyone adjust your headphones. By the way, if you were listening at a very specific point of the show yesterday, this part is for you, and then we'll get to the Joe Witt sound in like 60 seconds here. But Anthony, we talked yesterday during Never Read the Comments about whether or not we should exclude the whistle sound effects because apparently it's like scaring people and it's causing problems with dogs and all this kind of stuff. So when I posted the pick six yesterday, I edited it down. I did put a little mini fade on the whistle at the start, so it's less harsh. It's less like boom whistle, and it's more of like whistle. So don't say I never did anything for you, people complaining on the internet about volume levels. We're here to serve you, and we did. And it takes an extra small click, and I do think it will make a big difference without ruining the je ne sais quoi of the pick six open.
Look at you being a man for others, Craig.
That's how I roll.
We love to see that, man.
I'm here to surf.
Yes.
Here to be a dancing monkey for all of your entertainment. Okay. Let's get to the Joe Witt sound. So the Commanders have talked quite a lot. Dan Quinn, chiefly, have talked about we got to play our style and we want to impose our play style. You hear that term a lot. And then it's like, okay, well, what does play style mean? Play style is we're going to play fast. We're going to play physical. And I think last week, more so than in week one against Tampa, you start to see some examples of that. You start to see some guys that are really thumping as tacklers, as hitters, the way they take on blocks, the way they obviously bring down ball carriers, make contact with ball carriers, just a general speed and quickness and a tenacity with how they play that says like, oh, that's different. That is different not only than what's been here in the past, but then what is on the field and other players right now. You can see who's in and who's out, if you will. And today, Joe Witt Jr. was asked specifically, hey, who on the team is actually playing up to that level?
Frankie Louvu, it starts with him. The way he runs and hits. You know, this last game, I we won it and it was good, but Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu, Ben and Quan, I think Quan played really good the first game, even though we didn't play good as a defense. Those four men have been playing the play style, okay? All right, Frankie Louvu runs and hits and puts his body on people in a very violent manner, and we have to get everybody to do that, all right? Quan, you know, the Tampa game, we did not play a good game defensively, but he came out of the post and had some really nice tackles and some space tackles that were hard. So did Percy. They had some space tackles that were hard. Now, we have to get 11 guys doing it every time. And then we talked about playing with a deep crew. When those guys get tired, all right, the next group that come in have to be able to do it. And so, but if you're asking, of plays, you know, Frankie, his whole play style is what we're looking for as a defense from a physicality, run and hit. And I thought Bobby Wagner, I challenged him on some things this past week in the coverage aspect, and he was all over it, man. He played really well this last game. Those two men played really well.
That makes me feel good as an analyst because when I watch the tape, those are the two that stand out. Those are the two that if you watch and you watch with that specificity, because like we talk about watching tape and like anybody can watch tape. But you got to watch tape with intention. You have to say, like, okay, on this round through the tape, I am watching coverage structures. I am watching how the linebackers play in terms of physicality. I'm just going to focus on the linebackers. Because if you try to see everything, it's impossible. I mean, even on the same play, like, there's a reason that the coach's clicker does, like, the little rewind thing. And thank God NFL Pro now has the ability to do kind of a version of that where you can quickly just rewind 1 second, rewind 1 second, rewind 1 second. So I can watch, okay, let me watch the X. Let me watch the outside receiver, the slot receiver, the tight end. How do they release? Okay, what coverage is the defense getting into? Like, if you really want to break down some of the plays, like, you have to have an intentionality when you watch film. But if you were to just forget all that. Forget, I'm not watching for coverage structures, or I'm not watching to see how they rush together. I just want to sit back and watch his play. And let's see you hit somebody really hard. Let's see where my eyes go. Your eyes would go to Frankie Luvu. He's the number one guy. You'd be like, oh, someone, I just saw someone get hit really hard. Oh, Luvu was the one who hit him. That's going to happen a lot. Bobby Wagner, you're going to watch him play with physicality. I mean, even if, especially with Wagner, like, you just watch the ball. Right? Handoff, where's the ball going? Bobby Wagner's going to arrive there, and he's going to arrive with some intention, and he's going to arrive with physicality. And those little hits, like, they really add up over the course of a game. You're just tired of getting hit by that guy. It slows down your decision-making. It slows down what you're able to do as an offense, because dudes are like, where is 54 about to come from and thump me? And that's great. That's what you want. You want to be miserable to play against. And you see Quan Martin flying out of the post. And I'm glad he mentioned Benjamin St. Juice, because Juice, not only does he arrive and tackle well and with physicality, but, you know, the tenacity piece. I talked about this earlier in the week on the play where he forces the fumble. Like, there's a really good block on that play by Malik Nabers. He has a good angle. He blocks BSJ. The play gets outside, and Benjamin never gives up on the play. He works his way back into it, and he forces the fumble. And so, yes, that was a big gain, and there's a lot of, I think, things to coach up on that play. But for Benjamin to just, hey, stick with it, play with tenacity, arrive with a purpose, whether it's to deliver a big hit, whether it's to punch the ball out, both, like, figure out a way to make a difference. Benjamin St. Juice did a lot of that. And I think you got to give credit to Juice for doing that so far through two games without picking up a bunch of, you know, PI penalties and hands to the face and all the things that he struggled with over the last couple of years in the flag department. What I think caught a lot of people's ears, though, is not necessarily who got mentioned, but it's who didn't. And it's not just that any specific D lineman didn't get mentioned. It's that none of them did. And that includes not just Allen and Payne, but, like, Dorrance Armstrong, who has played for Dan and Joe in the past. Like, Dante Fowler has been with Dan for a long time. And I do think Fowler plays with a bit more urgency. Like, I watch Fowler and I go, I get why Dan Quinn likes this guy. So I think, you know, for some of them, it might be more of Joe was thinking of other guys. You know, he's not tacking through everybody. But I do think that if the D line was setting the example, he would mention them first. Because if I say, like, hey, violence, physicality, you know, speed, effort, who's playing with that? And the D-line was, like, busting their butts every single play and setting the tone, then Joe Witt wouldn't default to Frankie Luvu, because those other guys would be the ones setting the tone. And instead, it's the other way around. And so it's easy to be forgotten when you're not doing it at as high of a level. And so it's not necessarily like he called out anybody specifically for not doing it. The fact that none of the defensive linemen jumped to mind immediately, and all these back seven players do, and not all of them, but all the ones that he mentioned do, that in itself says enough. And if you want to talk about why this defense has struggled to the extent that it struggled so far, it's exactly that. And so what I think is funny is sometimes it's like, oh, I don't care about they play physicality. I need them to make plays. And it's like, you realize one leads to the other, right? You realize that part of the play style is to not just to have an attitude that sounds real good in a press conference. It's because if you play more physically, especially within the line of scrimmage, and you win some of those hand-to-hand combats, then maybe Jeremy Chinn's not stuck making a tackle in a gigantic gap, because you fought back against a double team more physically, more violently, that shrinks down the gap. Jeremy Chinn's got an easier job. He can make the tackle instead of missing it. Maybe you get to the quarterback a little bit sooner and he doesn't have a chance to escape and you finish some of the plays that have been almost because you got that little bit of extra oomph to your rush. These are the kinds of things that these little things that stack up and ultimately get the results. And so I do think it's a fairly big deal that Joe Witt said this, but I will also caveat it by saying we are two games into the season. These guys have never played together. There's a confidence that allows you to play faster and thus more physically and violently that they clearly don't have in this system and off of each other yet. And things as they are don't mean that's how they always will be. And my sincere hope is starting Monday night against Cincinnati that the D-line joins the party because they need them to. And if this defense is going to have any chance of being a top half in the league this year, that's the group that's got to lead the way. And the linebackers supplementing it, not the linebackers dragging everybody else like it kind of has been through two games. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And when we get back, Clinton Yates joins us, and he's got something to tell me about a colleague from around the horn that's going to this game on Monday night, and it's really important, and he thinks there's a whole discussion off of it. We'll see what Yates means with all of that next on the Team 980.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.